Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning. That's the reason why so many parents are looking so relaxed. Yes, they're going to go on a date this afternoon. Is that right? As your children and young people are away on camp. Please pray for a lot of our young people and a lot of our young adults. And some of the team of the staff have come back and others have gone. And so let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for everything that you are doing. And Lord, we just pray that some of the young people and young adults will hear it, the call of God over their lives, that it will change their lives forever. And that you would meet with them and it would change and influence the course of their life for the rest of their lives. And that, Lord, we just pray your blessing and that they will receive revelation of who you are and what you want to do in their lives. And Lord, we just pray this morning as we come around your word that you would speak to us and that you would stir our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. So, well, it's great to see everyone today. And is everyone enjoying the summer? Yeah? Put your hand up if you've not gone on holiday yet. Right, well, there's a few hands we need to pray for. That's quite a few. So we just pray. You're the hardcore. I knew this morning we'd have the hardcore group of people in church. And so I'm just going to preach. And I want to preach slightly different today. Now, there's two types of meals that you can go to. And the first type of meal is that my wife turned 40 this week. And yeah, that's pretty old. And because I'm a lot younger, okay? I'm only 39. So, you know, so I've got a dad on there. And I took her out for a lovely dinner. And it was a prepared set meal of three courses, and we had a lovely meal. That's one type of dinner. Or you have a second type of meal where it's Cosmos style, where you have a buffet. Yeah. Yes? And so this morning, because it's August and we're a little bit chilled out, I want to be preaching Cosmos style or buffet style. So you can, you know, when you go to Cosmo, you can have a bit of tikka masala with a bit of roast beef, with a bit of pizza, with a bit of lasagna. Yeah, there's a few people who know too well who's been to Cosmos. So I'm going to preach a bit of buffet. And sometimes, because it's August, we're a little bit relaxed. And sometimes I try and rein my prophetic gift in. But this morning, I'm going to lay it loose. Come on. Is that all right with everyone? I'm going to lay it loose. So we're just going to share and come around the Bible. And if I don't get through it, I don't know. We may do something to finish what I want to say, and I'll think about that. But I hope you're ready for September. I just feel in my spirit, September is going to be an amazing month in this church. You are not going to want to miss the month of September. Every time I drive my car to this building, Sergio Aguero prophesies. Do you read the banner? New dreams, new season. Yeah. Sky Sports. Yes? Well, if Sky Sports can prophesy, I believe that. I say, yes, Jesus, thank you. I'm taking that for my life. Yeah. New season, new dreams. I'm not talking about that, but I believe as a new season, God is going to move in this place like never before. Yeah. Well, do you know that mentorship today is a multi-million pound business? And, you know, if you want to be successful in business, if you want to be successful in life, it's important that you have a mentor. And key mentors get paid millions of pounds. And because when you invest your life into a mentor because you want what they've achieved or their attributes and their character, you want to pick up some of them for your own life. And I want to encourage you that what I love about reading the Bible is we don't just read the inspired word of God, which is brilliant, but also we can have mentors in the Bible. Yes? And I want to encourage you that, because I can guarantee that there is somebody in the Bible that is going through what you're going through right now. Do you know that? I've been in church 40 years in 6 weeks. And I know that every time I open my Bible, it's not just a history book, but I can learn lessons from people's lives. Yeah. Yes? And I can learn lessons for when they get it wrong. I can learn lessons from when they get it right. And you know, so many people right now are crying out for someone to mentor them. And don't get me wrong, it's good to have physical mentors, but we need divine mentors that we can get something from them. So a little bit different this morning. I want to be doing a character study, from a reading that we find in John chapter 1, verse 6. And this is what I'm going to look at, one of the most, one of the favorite characters in the Bible that I like. And I can remember reading this one time. And I just had to, you know, when you read in the Bible, and sometimes you just have to sit for 10 minutes and just go, wow. And this is one of the wow moments. So we're just going to look at this in 1 John. In John chapter 1, verse 6, it says this: there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. And all the Johns in the house say, amen. There came a man. Amen. It's good to know the live link's working. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Yeah. And this morning, if there was a man that the Bible says who was sent from God, his name was John, then surely we need to look at his life. And surely there's things about this man who was sent from God that we can learn from his life. So we're going to look at masterclass mentorship from a man called John. It's a mouthful. Masterclass mentorship from a man named John. If you want any more reason why it's important to look at the story of John the Baptist, because I'm very passionate today. I've been in church for, a long time, and you don't really hear many messages about John the Baptist. And he's kind of becoming the forgotten man of Christendom. And I believe I want to reintroduce John the Baptist to you, or if you've never been in church, but I want to introduce John the Baptist to you. And another reason why it's good that we look at him later on in the scripture, if it comes on in Matthew, these were the words of Jesus spoke about John. It says that, then what did you go out to see? He's talking about the people. A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one whom it is written, I will send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. I tell you, among those born of woman, there is not raised anyone greater. Who's the greatest human being that's ever lived? I know there was a vote a few years ago about Winston Churchill, the greatest Briton that's ever lived. But Jesus categorized John the Baptist. Do you want to know the greatest person ever born of a woman is John the Baptist? Why do we know that? Because Jesus said it. And I think he has authority to say that because he knows everybody in the world. But the greatest person ever born of the woman was John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Well, that's a different subject. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and the violent people have been raiding it. So we're going to look this morning at some life principles, mentorship masterclass from a man named John, and I've got 14, but we may only get 3 done. But we're going to look at his life, his birth, his life, and his death. And I just feel I'm just going to, bit of a buffet, I'm going to put it out there, and you may enjoy it. So the first thing that I feel God wants to say about his birth is this. The first point is this. I want to move fast. Is this. I feel it's a word for people. Keep burning the incense. Yeah. God wants to say to New Horizon Church and to your life, keep burning the incense. You see, the story all began is when a man was burning incense in the temple. And what was interesting about a man who was burning incense at the temple is that the incense that he was burning, in the Bible, it represents he was worshiping God. The incense represented praise. It represented an offering. So in the start of his life, we find a man who was burning incense. Now, the incense is not the most important thing, but it's important. What makes this story amazing is that he is worshiping God, he is praising God, and he's bringing an offering when in his own personal world, God has not answered his prayer. I don't know what you do when God doesn't really come through sometimes the way you think, or maybe you have a prayer that you've prayed and until now it's not been answered. I'm sure like many of us, we can get discouraged. We can have a kind of a pity party. We can moan to our friends. And certainly we find that we don't want to go to church. Is that right? When we feel discouraged. But a man named Zechariah, even though his prayer had not been answered and that had terrible repercussions for him and his wife, and he was suffering, he was found in the house of God. He was still praising and he was bringing an offering to the Lord. At the same time, I believe God was looking around the earth to see who would be the father of John the Baptist. And he was looking to see who in this place has got faith and the credibility and the character to fulfill something very important. And he sees Zechariah with an unanswered prayer in a terrible situation, still in church, still praising, still bringing an offering to God. Keep burning the incense, because as he keeps burning the incense, I will bring some praise. I will bring an offering when financially it's really tight. I will bring an offering. And he brought an offering. And as he's there thinking, my life's not gone to plan, but I'm still praising you. I'm still going to bring an offering. The Bible says an angel came. And he says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. You see, church, if we keep bringing an offering, if we keep bringing praise, if we keep coming to church, I believe a word is that God is going to break the supernatural power over your life. I'm not embarrassed about as a pastor to ask for offerings, because offerings break something over your life this morning. Keep burning the incense. Maybe this morning it's a prophetic word for you. You feel like giving up. Maybe God's not come through for you. Maybe your life's gone different to how you thought. But God wants to say to you, keep burning the incense. Keep burning the incense, because God will turn up. Amen. Oh, just imagine if Zechariah was not willing to bring an offering. Just imagine if Zechariah was not willing and he left church. He said, I'm not going to the temple. John the Baptist would not have come. And if John the Baptist could not come, Jesus Christ could not have come.
Come on.
Wow. Maybe a word for you is keep burning the incense. Amen. Point two. Now, this is an unusual point that I've never heard anyone talk about in church. It might be controversial, but I'm not here to be controversial, even though sometimes the word is controversial. And I checked it with Becky. So I feel a word for some people we learn from John the Baptist's life is miracles in, I'm going to say it, in the menopause. Woo! Miracles in the menopause. Oh, I love saying that word. Miracles in the menopause. You may never hear that in the next 40 years, but I tell you what, God wants to speak to you in every season of your life, because God wanted to say to some people that you shouldn't fear the menopause, because there can be miracles in the menopause. I want to say this morning, it's not just us at the same time. At the very same time, a 15-year-old young person was carrying the divine that was carrying Jesus. And the young people are away today. They're excited. And we're excited that God wants to use young people. But what the lesson about the birth of John the Baptist is that God doesn't just want to use young people, but he wants to use everybody in all ages. As I'm turning 40, I'm looking at a few things that I can't do anymore. Now you're 40. Do you know I cannot join the British Army? Which has been an ambition. I really wanted to be a Sergeant Major. Because I thought I'd be brilliant. But maybe God wants a Sergeant Major for the Kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I can't do that anymore. I would go and they say, sorry, sir, you're too old. Doors are being closed. And now, at the age of nearly 40, if there was a drought of footballers for England, I wouldn't get a look in. I'd be too old. I could not represent my country. And definitely you won't, John, because you're older than me. And they're too old, and you get to that season of life where doors start closing, is that right? And Elizabeth, the wife of Zachariah, she's going through the menopause. Yes, we can say it, church. And she's starting to think about life, maybe to settle down and accept a few things, and maybe fun and life is just for the young people, it's just for the Marys, and just for the 15-year-old. But the angel came to her and said, you're going to have joy in your life. You're going to have joy and great favor in the maturer years of your life. And everyone over 40 says, yeah. Amen. I didn't say that because I'm not 40 yet, but anyway, I was with you in spirit. But I really believe that maybe here you're dreading the future. Maybe you're not happy about the season that you're in, but God wants to say, do not see it as a negative because God wants to do miracles in the menopause. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise. That's the message. Amen. Amen. Oh, I need to calm down a little bit. Can someone get me some water? That would be good. Okay, well, I'm glad you've received that well because I was nervous about that and I ran by my wife. So if it went down wrong, then I would just point at you in her direction. Not really. So, because we're starting to have that discussion when you get to that age and if you're not in that age bracket, hey, you don't need to go there. So there you go. Good. Point three from the birth, life and death of John the Baptist is, thank you, Pastor Steve, is dismissing the disgrace. Dismissing the disgrace. Do you know, church, what we learn from the life, the birth, life and death of John the Baptist is that we serve a God that dismisses disgrace. Absolutely. Amen? You see, Elizabeth was there and she was living in disgrace. She was living, and when you live in disgrace, in terms of shame, dishonor, humiliation, and embarrassment, and I don't know if you've ever felt disgrace, but when you feel disgrace and when you feel shame, it kind of really affects how you live. Is that right? It affects you deeply. We can live with fear. We can live with anxiety. We can live with poor self-esteem. It can affect us mentally. It can affect our mental health when we live with disgrace. But God wants to say to people, maybe you feel embarrassed. Maybe you feel shame about something you've done. But we serve a God that dismisses the disgrace. Amen. You see, God speaks to Elizabeth and she says these wonderful words. And I believe it's a word for some people. Like I say, it's a bit of a Cosmo word. And Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, verse 25 says, the Lord has done this for me. And he said this, and he said, in these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. I believe some people here need to hear that today, right now, yes. God is taking away your disgrace. Amen. Right now, God is taking away your disgrace. You see, God wants you to live with the right label on your life. Because sometimes the label that is put on you or you put on yourself is not the right label, because you will act and feel in line with your label. I'll explain this in one of my favorite stories in Joshua. And God had a brilliant future for God's people, and he spoke to them. They got all excited about it. And they was going into the promised land. And before they went into the promised land, God had to stop them in their tracks and say, right, we've got to deal with something. We've got to deal with a label on your life, because the label on their life was slaves. Because you will act according to your label. It will affect how you think, it will affect how you behave according to your label. And so right then he had to say, right, because if you can't go into the promised land with a label and a mentality of a slave, because it's not going to work. And maybe right now you're thinking, I've got difficulties in my life, because you're living with a label of failure, you're living with a label of disgrace, you're living with a label of embarrassment. But we serve a God who wants to dismiss the disgrace. And so what he did is to symbolize the change of label, he got the men, and it just stay with me here, but it was symbolic, and he circumcised the men. And what he was saying, and this is what, and as he was doing this, this is what it says. It says in Joshua 5, God says, today, circumcision means set apart for God. The day you say, God, I am now no longer living for myself. I'm living for you. I'm putting you first in my life. God changes our label. That's circumcision. We're not circumcision because I'm not a Jew. Praise the Lord for that. If you don't know what's that about, come and see me after. But we circumcised the heart. Yes? By God's Spirit. And he says, today I have rolled away the disgrace and shame of Egypt from you. God wants to say right now, for some people, he's taking the label off of disgrace. And he's dismissing the label of disgrace. And right now, through the Holy Spirit, God is rolled away and he's putting on, you're my son, you're my daughter. Oh, I love. You got to accept it. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so as far as he removed our sins and transgressions from us, he comes and he takes the disgrace. I really feel some people's got to really wrestle with this. Come on. Maybe your labels become your identity. Maybe your labels is a victim. Maybe whatever it is right now, you've got to say, God, I'm giving you that label. Because Elizabeth's story was, God has taken away my disgrace. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 8, one of my favorite verses, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't need to hide in the corner. You don't need to feel embarrassed, because when you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Point four out of the birth, life, of death of John the Baptist is point four. Don't lose your voice. Have you ever lost your voice? Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? Try to communicate when you've got no voice. Like when you're a preacher, it's really bad when you lose your voice. Thankfully, I don't do it that regularly, but I have to make sure that I protect my voice. Because my voice is important. Without a church with no voice is pretty useless. Yes, and so Zechariah is in the temple, and the angel of the Lord says to him, he's prayed in faith that God would answer his prayer, But in his heart, he has no faith that God's going to answer it. Yeah? A little bit of a complicated thing. So he's bringing an offering and he's praising the Lord. Yeah, he needs to learn a big faith lesson. And Gabriel says, your wife's going to have a child and his name's going to be called John. And Zachariah turns around to Gabriel and has an argument with him. And says, excuse me, Gabriel, I'm not sure you and God know, but my wife's kind of in the menopause and we know there's no miracles in the menopause. It ain't going to happen. And Gabriel says, I stand in the place of God. And he says, you will not be able to open your mouth and speak until the baby's born. And he loses his voice. He can't talk about the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to him because he has no faith. I want to say to the church this morning, a faithless church has no voice in society. It's really important because it's interesting that the man who loses his voice gives birth to the voice. There's something incredible about that. And this morning, I'm passionate about this subject because we want God's voice to be amplified in Langley Mill, in Eastwood, in Ripley, in Hena, in Amber Valley, in the UK, in the nations of the world. But right now, the church may not have a voice because maybe, just maybe, it's not believing for what it's praying for. But when it has some faith and say, God, if that's what you're saying, God says, I will amplify your voice. Because if you can't see it, you can't say it. Amen. We need to pray that God will amplify some people's voice in the world. You know, right now, it's the most excited time to be a Christian living in the UK. It's the most challenging time. The next 25 years, I passionately believe, if God tarries, will determine the next 500 years. It's one of the most important, I know I'll say that because I'm in church leadership, but please pray for me. It's one of the most important times to be a church pastor in 2019 that's been in the last 500 years. And we need to have a strong voice. But God will only give a voice to people with a strong faith. That's the lesson. And he loses his voice. Oh, God, we pray as New Horizon Church, we'll never lose our voice. We pray as Christian people, we'll never lose our voice. Amplify your voice in the world. Amplify your voice in this generation, we pray. Raise men and women of God that would speak and bring your voice into situations in the name of Jesus. So church, don't lose your voice for lack of faith. But have faith for what you're asking for. Amen. We should be good. Okay, now, point five is this. God wants to say to some people today, please speak up. Please speak up. Has anyone ever said that to you? Speak up, boy. It's the opposite to me. People say be more quieter, but anyway, I can't help it. You know? Because, yeah, I won't go into that, but we need to speak up. And so the angel Gabriel says to Zachariah and Elizabeth separately, you're going to have a baby, his name's going to be John. Everyone say John? Got it. So they go to where the baby's born, and they go to this ceremony as they do in Jewish times to get him registered, to get his name, and they get to the man, and they says to, and remember that John can't speak, and he says to Elizabeth, what's his name? And Elizabeth says, his name's going to be John. And he comes straight back at her sometimes, and you get this when you speak the revealed will of God. His name can't be John. There's no one John in his family. I'm sorry, his name can't be John. Yeah? And I'm sure that Elizabeth could have very easily go, okay. God spoke to me about it being John, but okay, because he says, well, he's got his name, but God had been called Zachariah or something in line with the family. I like how God gives his name John because he gives his name John because he's wanting to amplify to his parents that this is guys, not just your son, but there's something bigger going on.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
His name's going to be John. And then she has to go. Can you imagine a lady got all these very important men? Oh, I've been in some meetings with very important men where you have to go. Excuse me, I'm not. I don't want to be a troublemaker. I don't want to cause any hassle. But his name is John. See, there's times in our life when we've got to contest for the will of God. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
when God speaks, and we've got to say to people, hey, I'm not trying to be funny here, but I just want to, this is what God has said to me, and his name is going to be John, because it's important that we deliver what God wants us to deliver. Maybe it'd be awkward. Maybe we're not going to be popular all the time. Trust me, I know that full well. And there's times when I've had to say in my own life, yeah, but there, this is, no, but I'm sorry, his name's going to be John. Because God spoke to me, and don't get me wrong, you get it through counsel, you get a feel that God spoke to you, and you have to contest. We don't want to be a snowflake generation, church, where we just go, oh yeah, just call him whatever he wants. No, no, no. God wants something. We'll give God what he wants.
Yeah.
His name will be John. So then she has to speak up to this woman, to this big panel. His name will be John. She says, no, he can't, his name be John. And the Bible says she had to speak up, raise her voice. And says his name, wow, that's the time already. His name will be John. Well, then they say to Zachariah, turn to Zachariah, what's his name going to be? So Zachariah's, what's it? So we've got to help this man. Let's get this man. Get something to write on. So they bring him a whiteboard with a marker pen. Been to Staples. Got a church value card. He's got it. Brings him. Yeah. Who keeps writing funny messages on the whiteboard? I think it's some of the young people drawing me and Becky and things. Anyway, there you go. I'm going to lock him away. And he's like, he writes, his name is John. And as the minute he finishes the N on the John, the Bible says, God loosens his voice.
Yeah.
Because that which he had no faith for, all of a sudden he has faith for. And when he has the faith, God something does something with his mouth and touches it. And everyone goes, wow, that's amazing. Speak up for the things of God in our world. Well, we need some wisdom of how to do that today. We talk all day about that. But come on. Speak up. Been in ministry 19 years this year. I always keep speaking up. When there's suffering and injustice, we got to speak up, church. Maybe you're going to encounter a time in your life where you're carrying the will and purpose of God and people are going to be against you. People are going to fight you. People are going to try to humiliate you. People are going to try and bash you up, stop you. And you go, his name will be John. I'm just praying right now how to land this message. Are we all right just for 5 minutes more? If you need to go, you need to go. Point six, we'll do a few more and then we're done. God wants to speak about the revelation of resonance. You ever bought a tuning fork? My sister's a gifted piano player and I spent most of my life waking up to the sound of music. Is it Julie Andrews running through the hills of her life? And spent the first 15 years of my life hating pianos. I'm not saying the playing was bad, but just I'm really pleased you kept at it. I'm really pleased you kept at it. I'm really pleased. Come on, parents, we've got to raise some musicians. Yes? I'm fed up of people in church saying there's not enough musicians. Buy your child an instrument. Just so right now, Timothy, we've just got to decide what instrument he's playing, because he will play, he's got to play an instrument. I'm saying you've got to help your dad out. We got to see a generation set free. You got to bring the praise. The presence of God comes. I've got to find somebody, because I'm rubbish. Some people are born to play. Some people are born to dance, and I'm a dancer. My mum was a professional dancer. Tuning fork. And when you hit a tuning fork, it makes a frequency, and the frequency goes out, and it will make a vibration and noise with everyone, anything that's in alignment and that's in connection. The revelation of resonance. Some of you, I'm going to realize right now your life. You think, oh, I understand my life because I had to understand this. Mary's, Elizabeth's pregnant. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she comes to visit because it's her auntie. Mary, mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, her auntie, she comes. Elizabeth, she's making the house ready to receive. You imagine this, receiving Mary, who's carrying Jesus. Oh, can you imagine being a fly on that wall? And the Bible says that when Mary came, this is what the Bible says. When she heard the sound of Mary approaching, there's something of the resonance of the presence of God, that there was a connection. You with me? There was an alignment between the two, that what you're carrying is affecting what I'm carrying. There's a kind of a link here. And the Bible says there was both. Elizabeth was full of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this morning, you know, when I was a teenager, I thought I was a complete weirdo. Because when I was 17, 18, when you get too old to go to the youth, I still love going to the youth. And I still love serving church. And my friends used to say, Andy, you don't need to do that anymore. That's what you do when you're 16, 17. What are you doing that for? Let's go out to the pub or whatever. And I was saying, no, there was something in me. I used to go on youth camps and be there with my notepad. I could be there all day. Because I didn't know back then, and this is why I try and help people navigate their life, that it would be a lot easier if someone had sat me down and go, Andy, it is very obvious when I look at your life, you're carrying the call of God. Yeah, that it resonates with you because you're enjoying this, because this is connected to your future. You're going to spend the rest of your life involved in this stuff. I want to encourage your church. As I was talking with Bishop Jimmy, we don't just listen here. We listen here. Right now, you've come to this church and you don't know why, but something resonates with you. You're thinking, wow, there's something in my spirit right now, because we're linked. What I'm carrying as a senior leader, and some of the leaders, you, God's stirring your heart. There's a resonance. Resonance. Understand resonance. You know, we're in this building because I brought a man a burger who I'd never met before. It just created the I Know Church system. And we was having a burger, and as in the Great Northern, this is before this ever came into being, this building or anything. And we wasn't getting anywhere with the building. And as I was speaking, there was a resonance. And God said, tell him to, what would you think about taking on the building and being our building coordinator? He says, oh, nice, never met you before, but there's a resonance. What, weren't you? This is what spiritual people, living in the spirit. What about taking the building? Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Brought him on after 4 months. Bang, we're in. It's resonance. Resonance. We're going to land right now. I'll finish with this. Last one, if we go to point 8, and then we'll finish. I don't know whether to do an evening service tonight, Steve. I don't know. Yeah, so we'll announce it. Just let me get finished, and then we'll see. Last point, point eight, it's a big deal. See, why was John the Baptist a big deal? And this is, it's a big deal. John the Baptist was a big deal. That's what I want you to get. Because maybe you're an atheist this morning. I can say, I'm very happy for atheists to come to this church. Very happy. I'm very happy for people who don't believe in God to come to this church. If you are an atheist or you're listening by podcast, I want you to come to this church and tell me after how you thought the service. Just because I want feedback. I don't want a church just full of Christians, you know? Yeah. I love the fact that sometimes when we worship, I won't go there. John 1, chapter 15 says this. This is why it's a big deal. John testified concerning him, talking about Jesus. And he cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Did you get that? You see, what John was saying, this is why it's a big deal. He was the first person to say to the world that this Jesus, he even though he comes after me, because Jesus' ministry will come after John, even though John was older than Jesus, even though this man is after me, he surpassed me because this man was before me. What Jesus was saying is this, and maybe you're a new Christian, is he wanting to say to the world, should we just put it out there, is this, this man was not just a prophet, this Jesus is not just a good man, a prophet, a poet, but this is the man who was there, the foundation of the world. This is the man who's called the Ancient of Days. This is the man that people's prophesied about. This is the man that's going to come into the world and bring salvation to the world. And do you get that, church? He said Jesus was the man, like no other man. That's why John the Baptist was a big deal. Also, John, verse 1, verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is what I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed. John the Baptist is a big deal, church. Because what he says is, world, Jesus is here. World, the kingdom of God is near.
Yeah.
And to a generation that God had been silent for around 450 years, that a generation had been brought up in a culture that had not heard the now word of God for their lives. They was living under Roman occupation, full of fear and anxiety. And then a man came from nowhere in the wilderness crying out. I want to say this morning, when he started to cry out, just imagine the spiritual atmosphere in the heavenly realm. When he started to cry out, the kingdom of God is near. There's a thunderbolt of dynamic power was released when God started to speak again. Wow. That is amazing. The significance of a man. He's a big deal, church. And what was his message? I am one. I am a voice. I am a voice calling out. Make straight paths for him. The king is coming. Oh, how we need a prophetic ministry. I want to say the church, we're very comfortable with pastors. We like pastors. We like teachers. We sometimes like evangelists. Apostles are great people, but we kind of get a little bit nervous around them. But the office of a prophet, the church don't recognize anymore because some of them has damaged the church many years ago. What does the Bible says? The foundation of the church is built on Jesus, but on the apostles and prophets. You don't have any prophets and prophets. I want to just say this, we'll finish. You have no apostle and prophets in your church or in the world. There's no church. There's no church. Because what does the Bible says? God does nothing God does nothing without first revealing it to the prophet. Now, I don't know how that looks like, but in Christendom right now, what's one of the greatest challenges in the Pentecostal world in the UK is how we restore the office of a prophet and how we restore the, I'm just sharing now, I'm just unpacking my heart, and how we restore the office of the apostle. Because when we restore them, like we have pastors, teachers, and evangelists, if we bring the Ephesians 4 gift together, you will see a move of God in our nation like you have never seen ever in your life. Because you need a prophet. Because a prophet, he leads the way. A harbinger will go and say to the town, the king's come in. Everyone get ready. And he ushers in the king. Before the imminent return of Christ, I am believing that God will raise up prophets. And you will start to hear, the king is coming. We are going ahead. I want to say this morning, anyway, let's stand, we're going to finish. Thank you for letting me share the word to you. Like I said, a bit of a buffet style. Okay. Me and Steve's, and he's executive pastor, he's made an executive decision. So even if there's 5 people here, even if there's 20 people, we're going to have a Sunday night service tonight. So we will, okay, brilliant. Yeah. I just feel God wants to pour some things out tonight, and we'll end up with some prayer.
Just really quickly, guys. We started this service talking about God wants to bring something new, bring something fresh. Sometimes you have to act in the now to receive the freshness of God. So tonight, it's not just another service. It's not just another gathering. God is starting to do something afresh, something anew. So tonight isn't about just coming and being, but tonight is about expecting to receive something. Phone your friends up, yeah? Invite your world, because if they want to meet with God and they want to receive something new and afresh in their life, let's fill this place, yeah? Let's believe that God's going to do something tonight, because Pastor Andy is unpacking something of the presence of God and what God's heart is at the moment. I'll pass you back on time.
Amen. So we have a pastor from Nigeria. Is that right? Pastor Weavy? Yeah, so I'm showing him the building at 4. So doors will be open here at 6. And don't feel under any pressure to come, but if you want to come, I will be continuing this preach. We'll try and get a band together and we'll worship. I'll preach, and then we'll have time for prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that we're just receiving something afresh from your word. And Lord, we just pray right now. I believe that your word, your prophetic word, has gone into hearts and lives. Some people have thought, wow, is Andy Dillnot been reading my mail? No, I haven't, but God has. And he's brought you here because he wants to speak to you. This morning. So Lord, I just pray that you just bless this body of people that will activate your word. And Lord, we pray, we're excited for tonight. We believe that you're going to do something amazing tonight. And we don't want to miss what you're pouring. Lord, you're going to pour, and Lord, we just pray that we will have a heart ready to receive. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.